Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That is Antoine Walker, former Celtics great. He and Paul Pierce made up a terrific dynamic duo for the Boston Celtics, and Antoine joins us on the line right now. Hey, Antoine, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, we appreciate it. By the way, Rich Keefe officially leapt off the Kyrie Irving bandwagon as soon as he heard about the phone call to LeBron. I take it that bothered you as much as it did my partner.
Well, I mean, I think obviously it bothers because, you know, we all know Kyrie was very adamant about wanting to have his own team and his own situation where he's the man on the team. And he was in a great situation in Cleveland where him and LeBron were getting to NBA Finals and playing for championships. Whether or not they were going to win it, I'm not sure, but they were definitely together a dominant force in the Eastern Conference. And obviously he wanted a situation where he became the star. And, you know, it's a big responsibility that comes with being a star, especially in Boston. And I don't think Kyrie's handled the situation, especially with the media, the right way. I thought he's been great on the court for the most part. You know, obviously, he was hurt last year, but I think this year he's been terrific on the court. But the expectations went up when, you know, the team obviously makes a deep run into the Eastern Conference Finals without him and Gordon Hayward, and you add those two guys coming back this year, the expectations go up. So, and I think he was not prepared for that. I think people around the world and in the league thought that there would be a 60-65 win team. We'll be in the conversation that, you know, that they're going to play the Golden State Warriors in the championship. And obviously we know they had a great game last night against them, but that was going to be the whole conversation. But they struggled, and he hasn't necessarily handled himself the right way, or his team the right way. And just, you know, you got to take the responsibility sometimes. You got to take the good with the bad. That's a part of being a superstar in this league is, you know, you had a situation where LeBron used to have to take all the cameras and everything, and everything was pointed towards him, so he didn't have to deal with it. And I think that's something he struggled with this year is being able to deal with the media and be able to handle his teammates and say the right things that you need to do as a leader when you're going through rough times.
And how much of him being in his contract year do you think is a part of it, too? Because I'm with you. I think the expectations, that's a big difference from last year to this year. But also sort of that uncertainty, and he is going to be asked the questions, all right, where are you going next year? And it seems like that also has really affected him.
Yeah, I think obviously that's going to be a question. If you don't answer that question correct early on the first time, people are going to continually ask you that. That's a part of the business. That's a part of becoming a free agent. He'll be one of the top five guys in the free agent market this summer. And I think you got to understand that comes with that. But like I said before, if you want to put that to bed, it's a way you answer that the right way. And you say, you can either say, hey, I'm going to make my decision in July. And you know, I don't want to talk about it. But then also you can make a definitive answer that I'm either staying in Boston or I'm going to test the market. And he's yet to really put that out there. I think early in the season, before the season, if I'm not mistaken, he kind of made a comment that he was going to be staying in Boston. And I think that's sometimes, you know, with the rumors swirling, with what New York did, and Brooklyn people started to think that he's going back, you know, he's going to leave. And obviously we know what they're trying to do in L.A. and add pieces with LeBron. So people start to wonder, are you going to stay? And then obviously the team is not playing well over a stretch of the month of February. It brings the question up. And he hadn't answered the question the right way.
We've seen it with Kyrie. We've seen it with LeBron. Adam Silver even talked about it a couple of days ago. Why do so many NBA players seem so miserable right now?
Listen, I don't know. And I'm going to be honest. I mean, when you're making $10, $30, $40 million a year, the league is in the best place it's ever been money-wise. So that's great. I know everything is not about money. Basketball, where you can wake up every day and do what you love to do. I don't know how you're mad. I know everybody goes through some personal problems and things may come up personally. You are human, but at the end of the day, when you're able to make $10, $20, $30 million a day, work 6-7 months out the year, I don't know how you upset too much. Life should be pretty good, and basketball is fun. You know, you never take the fun out the game. And when you're playing bad and things are not going well for you, you just get in the gym and you get better and you figure it out. You don't shoot free throw well, you go to the free throw, go in the gym and shoot free throws. When you don't shoot threes well, you just go shoot more threes. So I don't understand how players are so mad. Life is great for NBA players. TV ratings are up. The game is in a good space as a whole. I just don't know. I don't understand how you can wake up and be mad when you're doing something you love to do and you're getting paid top dollar for it.
And last Sunday, walking into the arena, Kyrie Irving made a comment about how he can't wait for this to be over when his career's done. And it was just because the ABC cameras were following him in there. And sort of, you know, similar to what Dale was asking, what did you make of Kyrie's comments that, you know, I didn't get into this game to be a celebrity or to be famous or to have cameras following me? Because this is also a guy who was the star of a movie just last summer. So it seems like he's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a mid-basketball crisis, you know, that he's going through. I don't know what you want to call it. I mean, it's tough. I don't understand why. I just think when you're able to get up and do what you love to do and you're healthy and you can make a lot of money doing it, and basketball is fun. If you're a competitor, you love competing for championships. You love trying to get better. You're in a situation in a couple months where you're about to sign for another $100 plus $200 million again. I don't know how you wake up and not be excited about that. I just think it's different for Kyrie. I think every player, sometimes you can bite off a little bit more than you can chew, and I don't necessarily believe that he wants. I think he just wants to play basketball. He don't want to have to deal with the nuances that come along with being a basketball player. Well, I should say being a superstar, which I consider him a superstar, that comes with that. And that's got to be, you got to answer the tough questions. When the team is playing well, you're going to get rewarded. You're going to take all the glory for that, and hopefully you're playing well when the team is playing well. And when they're playing bad, they're going to come to you. You're the head guy, and you got to be prepared for that. And for some reason, he hasn't been able to handle that situation.
We're talking with Antoine Walker, former Celtic great. You can see him on the SEC Network as well, by the way, as part of ESPN. I think that part of the problems in the NBA started when players started deciding who they were going to play with. And you know, it was, I guess, when LeBron went to Miami and, hey, Chris Bosh, you come over here. We're going to play with Dwayne Wade. We're going to put together a super team. And you're seeing it elsewhere now. It seems as though it's almost like they're taking on the pressures of being GMs as well.
I mean, I don't like it. I mean, I think LeBron's situation was a little different. He was in Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's not necessarily a destination spot for free agency. And guys got to understand when guys look to go to nice cities. They want to play in cities where it's nice, good restaurants, you know, good social life. They want that. So, you know, when you go to free agency, that's where guys want to go. If you look at some of these teams, it's not really necessarily, guys are not making total basketball decisions. I mean, when you look at this, when you look what's going on, I mean, you look at Kevin Durant's decision a couple years back. I mean, him and Westbrook were up 3-1 against that Golden State team. And, you know, the competitive basketball guy would want to stay and come back and see if they can beat Golden State. But instead, he joins them. You know, LeBron James has went to 8 straight finals. Granted, he didn't have he lost Kyrie Irving. But he didn't stay in Cleveland where he could have, his easiest route to continue to win championships were probably through Cleveland. He went and took a harder route in L.A., but he went to L.A. for the things that's off the court. When you think about the movies and the deals that he can do off the court, he went to L.A. It's a little bit, it's more than just basketball. It's different for a lot of these guys. They're not necessarily concerned with just the basketball aspect anymore. I think with AAU basketball and the friendships these guys do have built, they want to play together. It's different in a sense that back in the day when you just wanted to be competitive, you see each other in the summertime, and that was it, and you just want to be competitive and see if we can beat each other year in and year out. This is a new, different NBA. It's not those type of guys. You got 2-3 guys that are teaming up, and for whatever reason, they want to play together and take that route. But it's something. You know, we dream about these super teams, but it makes the league in a situation where you look at the Eastern Conference right now. I mean, the 6th, 7th, and 8th spot are all under 500 because of the balance of talent.
Now, I mean,
so you look at that. I mean, it just it makes, and then coming into the season, you think about it, we had already penciled in, everybody's already penciled in Golden State as the NBA champs. You know, and that's, you know, you shouldn't have, you know, in sports, you should always have to, it should be a fight. But we all think right now Golden State is going to win the title no matter what. And that's because you got five guys on the, you got a super team over there.
Now, Celtics looked great last night against the Warriors, mm-hmm. and they were obviously playing without Klay Thompson and a couple of their other guys. But when you see a game like last night for the Celtics, do you say, hey, great, they've found something and maybe things are going to click? Or do you look at it the other way and say, well, this is what they're capable of. How come we haven't seen it this year?
I think you look at it and say this is what they're capable of. I mean, obviously, I think it was a big win. They need to stop the bleeding. No better team to stop the bleeding against the best team in the league in Golden State. So you have to appreciate the win. They played great basketball. One of their players, they need to step his game up, played terrific last night, and Gordon Hayward, so that was a good sign. And like you said, you know, you take the good with the bad. He wasn't playing bad. He came out on national TV and had a huge game, so it could be something that you can build on. I just think the expectations were 60-65. They're not going to be able to get to that number. But the Celtics are still going to be a tough out. They just made the route by having a bad February. They probably made the route much harder than it's going to be. Because now you're going to play in the fourth or fifth seed, and you're going to end up playing a Philadelphia team or a Pacer team. I think Philly's going to get the Pacers. So you're going to play the Pacers, who's young and they're competitive. And then you're going to have to play one of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference all season long, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors in the second round. So they took a tougher route, and you're not going to have home court advantage. So they just took a tougher route. But last night was great. I mean, every night you're not going to make 38 threes. I mean, you're going to have 38 assists mm-hmm. and make 14 threes. You got to get some consistent play on the defensive end. The Celtics were great last year defensively. I think that's where they took a couple steps back from this year's team. And obviously, being able to get a balance on the offensive end. They got a lot of talent on the offensive end. And guys got to be willing to buy into that, got to be able to be successful with 10, 12, 13 shots. And that's about being a championship team. When you got a lot of talent, you got to be able to get it done with limited shots and sacrifice your game for the greater the good of the team. And they've yet to be able to do that, and that's why they've had such inconsistent play throughout the season.
Somebody in the Golden State Warriors reportedly said of Gordon Hayward, he's a liability at both ends of the court. And you saw the effort that Hayward put in last night. When you were playing in the NBA, did you try to take stuff like that personal? Did you use it as fuel when you were out there on the floor?
Without question, man. People got to, and to be honest, for Gordon Hayward, he had a horrible injury. And people got to understand that it's going to take some time, man, to get back to the form the way he was at. I mean, this is an all-star player. So people got to understand, and he's not going to come right back and be the player he was. It's going to take a year. I mean, I can't wait to see him next year. He has to get confidence back. I mean, I can't imagine what he had to do mentally to get himself back prepared to be able to make some of the moves he used to make and take chances on the court with his leg like that. So I think people giving him not giving him a fair chance to get back to the level that he was at. Now, I also believe that I thought Brad Stevens rushed him back. I thought Brad brought him back too fast. I thought he should have came off the bench to start the season. Maybe, you know, put him on a minute restriction the first 20, 30 games and let him gradually build back up. But he'll be fine. I mean, his confidence is going to get better and better. But, yeah, if y'all was a player, I'd definitely take that. You have pride in what people say about me. I'm not going to lose no sleep over it, but you do have pride in what people are saying and thinking that you're going to be a liability on the court. And obviously, Gordon Hayward's been an all-star in this league, so he'll definitely bounce back after that. And last night was a great start.
Now, I know you've said that Kyrie Irving is not a leader. Looking at it from the outside, do the Celtics have a leader if it's not him?
Well, I would assume that Al Horford, being a veteran guy in the locker room, is just taking some leadership role. I'm not in the locker room. I'm on the outside looking in. So it just looks like from the outside that, you know, Kyrie struggled getting these guys on the same page. They haven't responded right. And when you have inconsistent play like that, that's usually what happens because sometimes the leadership is not right. Usually most teams, the Celtics don't have a guy that they sign just for the locker room. You know, sometimes you see teams sign veteran guys with that 13th or 14th slot, and they bring in a veteran guy to kind of help police the locker room, keep guys on the right page. They don't have that. they're banking on a young superstar in this league, and Kyrie Irving to be their leader, who seems like he's struggled at times to be a leader. Sometimes, because you can't go in the media and not protect your team as a leader, regardless of what's going on in the locker room, or guys are shut down on you. You have to protect them because they read the blogs, they read with social media, the internet, and things that are going on today. They read that. So you have to protect your guys when you're the leader of a team.
Now, you have one of my favorite quotes of all time. Somebody asked you a while ago, why do you take so many threes? And you said, because there are no fours, which is the greatest quote of all time. I feel like, Antoine, you were ahead of the curve, because now every single team and every single player launches threes nonstop. And maybe you're the wrong guy to ask, but do you think it's swung maybe too far that way, where every team in the league is so reliant on the three that it seems like every night there's a new franchise record being broken for the number of threes being made, and has the game changed almost too much?
Well, you know, I'm a little biased.
Yes, right. I figure so.
You know, because the game is played the way when I was playing it, I was getting crucified for it. And the reason why I made that comment, I actually made the All-Star team that year, and I think I was in a three-point contest. And I think by All-Star break, I had shot a ridiculous number of threes. So that's what made me actually answer that, because I was getting tired of the question being asked. But anyway, no, I mean, I think it makes for an exciting brand of basketball. It takes the big man out. I mean, it's a stretch for a league. It's a there's no real centers no more. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you see the Dwight Howards and the traditional centers struggle now in the league because of that. Because you have to be able to step out and shoot the three ball. But I like it, though, because now you're seeing guys at 6'8", 6'9", the things I used to do. I look at Giannis from Milwaukee, a guy that can put it on the floor, deck, and make plays for people. You look at Draymond Green, another, you know, power forward that can put it on the floor and handle. I mean, you got so many guys that can do that now. You look at Anthony Davis. So it's different now. You got bigs there. So I like it because it shows versatility of the game. I don't think it's, you know, some teams take it too far. I mean, obviously, you know, you got the Houston Rockets, they may shoot 53.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, it's just different, but it makes for a more exciting brand of basketball.
Antoine, it was fun talking basketball with you. We appreciate you taking a few minutes. Folks back here in Boston remember you fondly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Antoine.
Antoine Walker joining us, works for ESPN on the SEC network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.